Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Pastor Wayne, who comes with part two of his heart for Hillside this morning. So why don't you give him a warm welcome?
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful people. Look at you all. Hey, I see the light. I just, as Tristan's just still quietly playing along there, I just want to just continue in that spirit this morning. If you just close your eyes and bow your head. And Lord, you are a God of restoration. That is your nature, to restore. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that. That's why we're here, because you are a God of restoration. You want to restore that relationship. And Lord, I just want to echo the thoughts and prayers that have gone out. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, and as I prayed, and partly prayed the Nehemiah prayer where I confess the sins of myself and the sins of this house against you, Lord. Not just here, but in our everyday lives where we've walked away, Lord. And we've just put that before you. And we now walk in repentance. So it's done, it's finished. But the things of the past, Lord, as Kyler's mentioned, where families, as you've still got your eyes closed and your heads bowed, families and people and individuals, some are here, some aren't, that have been robbed, that have been hurt, that have been looked over or not regarded or treated harshly. Lord, I just pray a spirit of forgiveness would reign. I pray, as you are a God of restoration, Lord, that we, any that have been hurt, any that have walked away or gone and done other things, Lord, that you would grant them just that spirit of repentance out of your goodness to just forgive and to wipe the slate clean. Because, Lord, to restore, you need to sweep away and clean away all the things of the past, all the rubble on the building site. Got to be cleared before you can rebuild. So just speak prophetically in the spirit that that is happening and that is going to continue to happen, and we're going to start to build with you as the master builder. We're only co-laboring. I just thank you, Lord, for your heart of restoration, and I pray a heart of restoration fills this place, Hillside Church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Tristan. Big hand for the worship team this morning. See, I might take this side. I think I'm going to get a little bit hot. You like my new jacket? That's pretty cool, isn't it? I don't normally look that good, but it's always a good test of marriage. Your wife taking you clothes shopping, especially any men in the crowd. Can I get an amen? It's not, it's a couple of claps as well. Not often a place we're comfortable. So good morning again. I did the announcements at 9:30 for those who were here. Who was not here at 9:30? Actually, don't put your hand up. I don't want to make you feel bad. But I'm just going to try and start doing that, not to make anyone feel bad, but just not to interrupt that flow of worship if we can. And we're in a stage of rebuilding, so that might change. So there might be a few things that change. So there we go, Heart for Hillside. Now, just with that, I mean, it's really just part of what I'll bring in the early stage. It's just some of my heart, but some of what I believe God's heart is for this place. And he's already shown up this morning and told us what his somebody's heart is for Hillside, and that is one of restoration. So that's always a good thing. So, but I just want to, and I'm not sure if I'll do this every time, but I just want to recap a little bit on last week, because I think it's important. Who was not here last week at Hillside Church for the message? Yeah, quite a number of you, so I'll say 25 as a rough counting of sheep in the crowd. 26 maybe. But it was an awesome message last week, and those that read the newsletter, I won't get you to put your hand up for that, but from Pastor Kyler down the front on the 28th of Pentecost. It was wonderful, about being filled with the Spirit. And it reminded us of the necessity of the Spirit's power in our lives, and that we all need it to live the Christian life. Amen. And that some quick points, there's no set menu for being filled. Some were filled at baptism with the Spirit, if we're talking about the baptism of the Spirit. Some that fell on them well after they were baptized. They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And then others, even before they were immersed in water, they were filled with the Spirit and started speaking in other tongues. So I love it that God doesn't have a menu or a program, and this is how we do it, because man loves religion. We love to get into ruts of doing things, and Jesus came and smashed that. And we saw that lack of knowledge, fear, and the distractions of this world can all hamper the Spirit and us knowing and growing in Him. Believers need to be hungry and have a desire to be filled. We need to receive it by faith and not necessarily just a one-off experience, but we need fresh fillings of the Spirit. Amen. And as I'm just finishing up here, we did pray for people at the end. If there's anyone from last week who real quickly, in a couple of minutes, wants to come up and give a testimony of their experience, 30 to 60 seconds max, just if you've got something that God touched with and we prayed last week, or someone prayed, or someone spoke to you, please do that. There was salvation in the house last week. So good to see Melford. I don't embarrass you, but I just... that was a wonderful thing, and that's what the kingdom's about. So if there's any of them, Kyla's got a couple of microphones. Please feel free to race down the front. If not, it's not a drama. I do want us to start having more and more testimony. And I said 30 seconds, Jared, too. Just keep that in mind. But we do want to be a church that has testimony. Let me just finish this. Oh, no, way you go. Far away. The rules are there are no rules.
It felt like walking from sand into water, deep water, and kept on going and going and going.
Amen. Oh, is that all, Jared? Oh, that's good. If anyone else, please just come up as I'm just finishing this little preamble from last week. Not necessarily a one-off experience. And I absolutely love the part of the quote from Charles Spurgeon, which if you want to put up the next slide, Simon, that would be wonderful. Charles Spurgeon said many years ago, the bottle of the creature cracks and dries up. That's us, the bottle of us as a being. Happy are those who dwell at the well and so have abundant and constant supplies near at hand. That is one of God's hearts, or many of his hearts for Hillside, is that we would dwell at the well. And we've had some prophetic things about digging wells of prayer. We don't want to over-spiritualize it, but it's just that idea of digging into prayer, because sometimes we dry and crack up and we need that refreshment of a well. So may we all be well dwellers and be near the constant source of empowerment. Amen? Amen. So this morning I just felt to share some thoughts and some heart around the idea of us at Hillside and us as individuals being doers of the word. And I hope that we can see this morning it's not just being busy and doing things and works per se, but it's also just being. We're human beings, not human doings, and resting in his presence. And part of that end of worship was just a lovely time for us to rest in his presence. And I'm not sure about you, but it just felt sweet and beautiful to rest in his presence. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word. I'm just going to actually read that, and I'm going to just read a little bit around it as well, if you just bear with me. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man or a woman who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at themselves, go away and immediately forget what they look like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. I may get time to talk into that deceiving bit today, or I may not. I'm just going to leave that there for now. So we've got to keep looking into Scripture. We've got to keep looking into this. We've just got to keep looking into it, keep looking into it, keep looking into it, keep digging in it, digging that well, coming together, coming in fellowship, coming in prayer nights, just coming and looking into that perfect law. We've seen from last week that the Holy Spirit, which is a person, the Holy Spirit's power for us is to live this Christian life. It's empowerment that it's poured out for us. It's been poured out for us so that we can be doers of the word, because we need to be doers of the word. Again, it's not just about doing something per se, and we'll get to that. Acts 1:8, which was said last week, I'm sure that we'll be endued with power. And this was the promise of Jesus to the disciples, that they would be endued with power and be his witnesses. And he told them to wait. Sometimes we've got to wait to be endued with power to be his witnesses. And that's to give an account. And that's to speak for. That's to be doers of the word. So we're empowered to be able to do that. Scripture says of the Holy Spirit that he is our helper, our paraclete, our counselor. He is our power. He is the one that helps us. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, you would know, Jesus said that we would go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded. We can't do that if we're not empowered with the Spirit. John 14:26 says, he, Holy Spirit, will remind you of all the things I've said and teach you all things. He becomes our memory, if you like. And how many times have we been in a situation and then all of a sudden there'll be a scripture pop to mind? That recall. And that's the Holy Spirit reminding you at the time. If you're just about to step into a sin, and the Spirit hopefully will just speak and give you a back door to get out of it. There's always a way out. How else do we stand up against the enemy and temptation if we're not empowered by the Spirit? And in Romans 8, it talks about putting to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit. But if we're not doers in the word, if we're not taking the theory of it and doing the practical part of it, we can't put things to death because we're not equipped. And Hebrews 4 says, come boldly, receive grace from the throne in our time of need. So if you need empowerment, go to the throne of grace. It's a bit like a car. We know that a car needs fuel. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to be filled up regularly. Otherwise, we're not going to make the trip. And we don't go far. We must make a conscious decision daily to take up the cross of obedience, because being doers of the word is simply being obedient to what God wants. Yeah? He spoke that yesterday morning to say, what does it mean to be a doer of the word? It means to be obedient. So we need to commit to that, to be doers of the word as individuals, but also as a corporate church, as a body, a healthy body. And one that is found when Jesus returns, doing the works of God. And this is not to say we're not doing anything at Hillside. I see some wonderful things in this place. I see people doing the word all the time. So please don't think I'm saying we're not doers of the word. There's a lot of wonderful things going on. And that's why we need more testimony in this place and have a space perhaps every Sunday for testimony so that we can share those things, because it's very encouraging. So we have a responsibility with this authority, with this power. We have a responsibility to use it. What you don't use, you will lose. I think Kyla said last week that it seeps out, or there's these gods of distraction and busyness that drain us. And sometimes we wonder why we feel powerless. But what was also said last week was one of my favourite scriptures is that we have the same spirit in us that raised Christ from the dead. If we could only grasp that, 10% would be more than what we'd need. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. So I say again, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So slide 4 is a disclaimer. First disclaimer of the day. Works and doing do not save. You cannot earn your salvation. The challenge when you start talking about doing works is that people say, well, you know, that you can't earn your salvation. Hopefully you know that. And if you're a new Christian, you may not know that. You can work yourself ragged. That's not going to make God love you anymore. It's not going to get you into heaven any quicker or any better. You can't earn any of that earn any points. There may be some other religious institutions where they would say that, but that's not the truth. Okay, so obviously doing a message about doing, you'd be thinking of Matthew 7 and Luke 6. So Matthew 7 talks about the wise and foolish builders. You've also heard the story of the three little pigs. I'm sure that's where that came from. The first pig made his house out of straw, got blown down by the wolf, which would represent the devil. Second pig, I think, sticks? Same again. But the pig had built his house on the rock and built it out of bricks. The thief or the wolf came and he huffed and he puffed, but he couldn't blow it down. And if you read Matthew 7, it talks about the wise and foolish builders. I might just quickly go there. Yeah, simple. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Because what happens is the storms of life come, and it talks about that. It talks about rains and torrents and things. Storms of life come. Do you think they still come if you're a Christian? Sometimes even more. And I know there's a couple in the crowd down there that have not long been Christians, and they can reiterate what I'm saying. It's very real. The enemy doesn't like losing ground. But you don't want to be a foolish man and build your house on the sand, because the house came down with a great crash. And in Luke 6, which is a parallel account of that, I think it says his destruction was great. What I love about Luke 6 as well is the first bit of that says this. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? I heard once a preacher in the States went to a university and just spoke that scripture out, and the whole place fell in repentance. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And for the theologians in the crowd, and if you've studied in any way, I believe the fact it's mentioned twice, Lord, Lord, is very important. It's not just Lord. These are talking about people that are calling out, Lord, Lord. These are people that are doing things for God. In their mind, maybe, or maybe in their flesh, we can do plenty of works that look good, but it's about the heart. That's what God sees. Again, works can't save you. You can't earn your salvation. So do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The why. Why lay down our lives in obedience? Why? Well, Romans 12 would tell us that it's our acceptable or reasonable act of worship. And I would say our gratitude for our salvation. A right response. Again, if we could get a glimpse of what we've been saved from, I think it'd be a game changer. Even just a small glimpse of what we've been saved from. Because we just think in this world and, you know, yeah, but there's so much more to it. So it's a right response. It also, as some of the scriptures we've just read, that brings protection against deception. again, I may not have time to do that piece, but a protection in storms of life and protection in general. And it helps us to know God's will, helps us to know the truth. And I don't know about you, but that's why I'm standing here, because I was a searcher for truth. I wanted truth. Drugs, alcohol, all the stuff of the world just wasn't true. It was deception. And sin breeds sin. You start being deceptive, it just grows. It's also the path to eternal life and a current life of abundance and fullness, Scripture says. Jesus came to bring life in all its fullness. And as Spurgeon's already said, happy are those who dwell at the well and so have abundant and constant supply near at hand. Okay, quickly, disclaimer number two. So I'm not negating the need for hearing the word. Sometimes people have heard this and thought, well, I don't need to hear the word, or what are you saying, don't hear the word, or just got it. No, quite the contrary. It's got to be a balance. We've got to be hearing the word of God, but we've just got to be not just hearers. Now, when I say hearing, I don't just mean listening to a preacher or a teaching or a podcast. All good to do that. Keep doing it. But it's about reading, it's about seeing, and as you do stuff, you experience things. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, I believe. Because as they're out trimming the vines, as they're out getting the sheep in, it all started to fit and make sense as they were doing things. They saw it play out. Does that make sense? A quiet crowd this morning. So we absolutely need to be hearing, we need to be reading, we need to be sharing, debating. That's why testimony is great, sharpening. And that's where we learn some of the what to do and not to do. So what's the first scripture that would come to mind if we talk about hearing? What comes by hearing? So we've got to be hearing the word, yeah? And if we're doing it, again, it's twofold. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. James goes on in the next chapter to talk about faith with deeds and without deeds. And without faith, our faith without deeds is dead, barren, useless, it says in some versions. And goes on to say, can such faith save you? Because there's another very powerful scripture where Jesus says, you know, depart from me, I never knew you. But they'd cast out demons, they'd raise the sick, they'd cleanse the lepers. So we must hear the word of God and build up what I call our spiritual superannuation. Just keep investing into that superannuation fund. And it's quite corny, but the benefits are out of this world. I love what Oswald Chambers said in the next slide, slide six. I think this wraps it up perfectly. We cannot do anything. You cannot do anything for your salvation, but you must do something to manifest it. You must work out what God has worked in. He's placed this in it. It's our job to work out our salvation. Scripture says with fear and trembling. That's not in the corner scared of God. That's fear and trembling, like in awe and reverence of what he's done and what we've been saved for, to motivate us. It's a wonderful analogy from 100 years ago. We must manifest it. That's part of being doers of the word, manifest it. I've already alluded to this, but next slide would be disclaimer number three. And sometimes being a doer is doing nothing at all. Again, I said earlier, we're human beings, not human doings. It's an important point. Sometimes we've just got to be and not do. But we can also be doing all this stuff and we're not actually doing anything. Looks good. There is a scripture comes to mind about whitewashed tombs. I think it said, these people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's that sort of same idea. We can come here, we can worship, we can do all this stuff, but where's our heart and how close is it to God? And are we doing the works? And it's funny this morning when someone was speaking, but I'll say this often, but one of my favourite scriptures is Mark 6:31. Jesus, him and the disciples, they were busy doing ministry, doing the works. They were that busy, they didn't even take time to eat. Any of you ever been that busy? I'm sure we have at times, although we seem to be able to eat pretty well in this country. And Jesus said these words, this is a great, should be a great comfort to some of us. He said, come apart or come aside with me into a quiet place and get some rest. Because they were so busy. Jesus said that. Is he saying that to you this morning? Come aside with me into a quiet place and get some rest. One of the old versions, I think, says, come apart with me into a quiet place. And would go on to say, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. Amen. Jesus in Matthew 11 says, come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened. I will give you rest for your souls. I think you mentioned soul, rest for your souls this morning. Mind, will, emotions. That inner part of us. His burden is easy, his burden is light. And we might at some stage talk about the Sabbath down the track. Someone might bring a good teaching on that. But God created the earth 6 days, had a rest on the seventh. So if God needs a rest, it's probably a pretty good example. But just to reiterate and to go back, that's why living, walking, being in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being in step with the Spirit is so vital. We must hear the words of God to know what to do or not to do. And he spoke to me this morning, and just the word presence, that we just need to come into his presence to have that intimacy. And relationship flows out of presence, as Jesus did. And he went on, he said in Scripture that he only did what he saw the Father doing, he only spoke what he heard the Father saying. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place to get to? And sometimes we need to gain our instruction in the moment. Like we call a rhema word or a fresh word or a word of knowledge. Doris had one in this morning in the prayer room, which Kyla shared earlier on about refreshment, being refreshed and restored. Sometimes we need that sort of word in the moment. And you can get that from reading that. God will speak. He'll illuminate a scripture. And just to give you a scriptural example of that, Paul in Acts 16, 6 to 10, and I won't read it, but some of you may know this, but the Holy Spirit actually stopped Paul and his disciples, the crew, from going into Asia Minor. And I think they tried to go into Bithynia, and same thing, the Spirit stopped them. Now that was a word, that was a rhema word, that was a fresh word for them for whatever reason. I don't think Scripture tells us. But you could see there could be some potential drama there, because if we just take the written law, the letter of the law, and say, well, we're told to go and make disciples of all nations, Asia Minor's a nation, Bithynia's a nation, there could have been a bit of drama there, you think? But it was a rhema word from God, it was a fresh word of God, and there was enough in the Spirit to know the difference. Can we say the same? I hope we can in time. So being a doer of the word, obedience and the presence of God. Tunes us in, gets us in sync. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And those prophetic words are important, those things that are ahead for us. Those potholes in the road. We fill up at the fuel station, there's potholes up the road we've got to know. And Kairos timing, Kairos words, to know the right timing for things. Because sometimes we can be doing the right thing, but it's way too early. And I think I shared with my testimony last week about the call to this ministry. If I just jumped straight into that, it was the wrong timing. Or if I thought the idea up 6 months ago on my own, wrong timing, wouldn't have worked. God's timing is vital. And we look at Martha and Mary in that regard of just coming before the Lord and having different agendas. Do not listen to the word, so deceive yourself, do what it says. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power and action. Slide 8, please. Nearly done. Talk the talk or walk the walk. Let us be known as a church that can talk the talk. Oh, sorry, walk the walk. We can talk plenty of talk. I think that was from an old American football coach to his players. They could talk the talk. They're all pumped up. And we see that in Christendom. Plenty can talk the talk. We just want to walk the walk. Yeah? God just wants us to walk the walk. Just be doers of the word. Just be obedient to what he's told us to do and not do. And again, what is the walk? It's obedience. To be a doer of the word is to walk in obedience. And there's so many scriptures about obedience, blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. I think the blessings for obedience went for about, I think about 14 verses. The curses for disobedience go for about 50. There's a lot more. And Jesus was heard on high because of his reverent obedience. And again, I'm not saying we're not doing this at Hillside or you're not doing this in your life. We all are doing some things and other things, but it's just a call from above to ponder these things. We used to have a sign over there, I'm not sure what happened to it in here when we first came to Hillside, that said something to the effect of, we won't change the world by going to church, only by being the church. Remember that? That says it all. That's it. We can come here every week, but if we're not being it, if we're not doing it, if we're not fleshing it out in all of our sphere of influences, we all influence, we're only 100-odd people here today, but we all influence different people, so it just goes out tenfold. And again, it's a corny saying you would have heard many times, but the only Bible some people will read is the life you and I lead. The only Bible some people will read is the life you or I lead. Amen? Amen? So there is a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We've been given power to walk it out. It comes with responsibility. You don't give a 5-year-old an AK-47 because he'll do a bit of damage. But we've been given something so much greater. So God's looking for players, not applause. He wants players. And we applause what we most need to apply. And someone will come up and say something profoundly wonderful. We'll all applause it and say amen. Are we applying it? God wants players, not applause. He wants you in the battle, not on the bleachers. Bleachers is an American term for the stands. Bunch in the battle, not the bleachers, and you're already the winner. You're already victorious. We should start to act that way. You don't necessarily need to be on the front line, but he doesn't want you on the sideline. And the last thing we want him to say here is, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I know that sounds harsh, and I'm not saying that, but that's the extreme. There's a lot of really good stuff going on here. We've got the school, we've got Wallridge, we've got Women of the World. There's so many HCCO, there's so much good going on. So just to boil it down as we land, I know it's been a little bit heavy. We need to be doers of the word, which equals obedience to his word. We need to be conformed to the image of his son. You want to know the God's will? That is, one of his wills is for us to be conformed to the image of his son. So to take home this morning, we see that we need to be filled and live, walk, be in step with the Spirit. That the Spirit is our empowerment, it's our source to live this Christian life. We need to be empowered to be doers of the word. And sometimes we do nothing. We just be, we just sit in his presence. We have intimacy with him. We tune in so we're hearing clearly to work out our salvation. We need to be a church that walks the walk of obedience, and we need to be individuals that do that. And if we are doers, scripture promises we'll be blessed. We'll have life in all its fullness, and nothing will stop what God wants to do here. But it's not the motivation to get blessed. It's just the motivation because we are blessed, yeah? Comes out of that. And the epitome of the obedience in Scripture really is Philippians 2:8, where Jesus humbled himself, being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For you, for me, for his church. So I just want to leave you with slide 9, which is a lovely scripture. Now, this is the Amplified Version, and I don't feel I'm adding or taking away from Scripture. This just amplifies it. There's some verses that just seem to be appropriate to amplify, to flesh out a bit. I'll just read that quickly, and then I'll close. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. This is the obedience thing I'm talking about. Dedicating all of yourselves set apart. That's the amplified piece, as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical and intelligent act of worship. To the scripture writers, it's logical, it's intelligent to do so. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Isn't that a good reason to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with empowerment, to walk, to live, to eat, to be in step with him, to live, eat and breathe Jesus by his word, to be doers of the word and beers of the word, to live this Christian life. I love that bit at the end, that we'll know his good, acceptable plan and purposes for our lives. Amen. I think I'll leave it there. Quite a heavy message. But and again, it's not to say we're not doing a lot of these things at Hillside. We are. As I said, I see HCCO. I sat in on one of the devotionals. Where's Betty? She just gave a lovely, just a devotional Thursday, but just spoke about her own walk and her heart for prayer. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Would you like to share that? Is that something you'd be happy to come up and share, or maybe another day? Okay. You wouldn't get away with the devil. I was at an auction. But just a lovely heart about prayer and just praying for everything and pray unceasingly. It's little things like that that I'm seeing now I'm working here that just excite me. I see the HCCO crew out there. I see them praying for people. I see them looking for people to be, so they can be doers of the word. We've got Women of the Well. Same again, a wonderful, just a place for women to come that have been doing it tough or are doing it tough. That's just a church and people being doers of the word. I'm sure, Steve, at the school that you could talk all day about things. I just poke my head into chapel and there's things happening. I see youth group. I see Jackie ministering to some of the young people. And trust me, youth group's crazy. It does my head in. All these kids going nuts. Mate, if I could do 10 push-ups, Simon, I would, because I just said the word kids. Apparently you're not allowed to say the word kids.
20.
Oh, it would have been 20, about 20, bit 30, bit right. But I just watched Jackie the other night with some of the children, and it was wonderful. Just watched her minister. I watched young, they would have been 10, 11-year-old boys just laying hands on this child, boy. Sorry, I won't. And it was just beautiful. It's four young boys. This child had been hurt his arm, and they're a bit mean to him, but that's just being doers of the word, and these children are seeing this. Do you want to just come and grab a microphone, mate?
Help.
helping others in need. Last week, I was pretty heavy. Came down for prayer at the altar at the end, and just darkness overcame me. And Tim came and laid hands and was speaking in tongues and gave me that energy to protection over me, to lift me back up, and enough to get me standing again. And then as I was leaving, John came to my assistance as well and gave me some scripture and just gave me some understanding of the battles that are going to take place. And being a Christian, life isn't as easy as sunshine and rainbows as a lot of people think. There's a lot of attack and a lot of obstacles that will come in and try to change your ways.
Amen.
Now, I never thought in any of my dreams that I'd have two amazing men coming to my assistance when I was down, and you know, just shows that the community of Hillside, and you know, we're here for each other and build friendships for life. So yeah, that was just a bit of a testimony from last week, and I just wanted to say thanks to John and Tim for lifting me up and giving me some guidance. And I'm all pretty new to this Christian life, and it's just nice that there's people out there that are willing to give you time and help. And yeah, no.
Good to see you preaching already, mate. I love that. It's good. So that's perfect. That's a better sermon than that 1 minute than what we've heard for the last 40. But that's it. That's just it doing. That's just people being Christians, being doers of the word. John Castledine's done that for many people. First person that prayed for me when I walked in these doors 6.5 years ago was John Castledine. Just silent saints doing the work. Being Christians. Walking the walk. So encouraging. Thanks, man, for sharing that. Here's a bloke that didn't want to speak when we did the baptism. He didn't want to say anything, and now he's up the front. So,
it's great that, you know, you've got people that are willing to go to the trenches for you, and they're going to go the length to help you out.
Yeah, yep. So again, I'll say that there's some wonderful stuff happening. Please hear me right this morning. But imagine if that's happening everywhere, spot fires everywhere in this place. Real healthy. And it's unity, and God loves unity, yeah? Command's a blessing. Again, we get blessed, but we're not trying to be blessed. It's just an overflow. And I believe we've had a word, and we'll pray into this, about Hillside Church being a church of overflow in all ways. I mainly want that to be an overflow of spirit, of us, out of our, as we get filled, as we start to overflow, that just flows out into the community like what's been said. So God bless you all. I'll just pray over you, and then there's a bring and share lunch. So if you didn't bring anything, that's okay. There's John Castledine may wish to lay hands and do the fishes and loaves trick. Well, you're on a roll, John. You know, so what can I say? So please join us. There's tea and coffee. We'll open the doors to be outside. If anyone needs prayer, please come to the front. We'll have some of the elders and pastors here ready to pray for you. If anyone just wants a filling of the Holy Spirit, I think it's something we should just start to do regularly. I mean, Scripture talks about it. They were just freshly filled. You know, Pentecost had come, as Kyla said last week, and then I think Peter and John got out of prison and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit fell and filled them again. So there's a biblical precedent. We're not chasing... Good call. We're not chasing experience, please. If you ever see me chasing experience, whack me on the head. In love, John. John was getting ready. But seriously, it needs to just be out of our experience. These things just come because we're just being doers of the word. Again, apologise for a heavy message, but I think it had to be said. So Lord, I just, as we bow our heads, Lord, I just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we can be doers of your word. That might be a physical, Lord, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual, but we would do your word. We would say no to sin. We would forgive quickly. We would help the poor. We would look after orphans and widows in their suffering, because that's pure, undefiled religion to you. It goes on to say that we would not let ourselves be polluted by the word, by the world, rather. All these things are in your word. There's so many avenues we could go. So, Lord, I pray that we just start to ask to be filled daily, weekly with your Spirit, that we would pull into your service station and top up. We would read the Word. We would share the Word. We would share testimony like what's happened this morning to encourage, to build up, to lift up. And that we as a church and we as individuals would then be able to minister out of that overflow. Out of our fullness, out of our abundance that flows out of us, Lord. You've given us much. Help us use it, Lord. Help us use what you've given us. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the saints in this place that are doing the work now. Things we don't even see coming alongside people. Let love reign in this place, Lord. We just thank you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Again, if there's any prayer requests, please come forward. Please join us for something to eat and a coffee. God bless you.